D72 is the professional PC text multi-tool designed for automation in diagnostic, Windows repair, and malware removal. No other tool can help you automate more, relax more, and get paid with less effort than ever. Podnuts likes to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey everybody, welcome to Geeksters episode 122. I'm your host, Martin Obando, and Geeksters is a show where we just talk about geeky stuff, and it doesn't matter what it is. If it's geek, you'll find it here. Today we have a special guest. You may have heard of her. I don't know, she's somebody just kind of there, you know, you hear, I don't know. If you're at all familiar with the Podnuts Network, you'll definitely recognize Lisa. Hey Lisa, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. It's great to have you on the show. We've had you on here before.
Mm-hmm.
You've come on. We've talked about some stuff. You and I are kind of in the same boat. We've talked, you know, both on the show. We've talked off the show. You've given me a phone call. I've called you. We've had some.
You're always driving, and I'm always at my command center here.
I'm always going somewhere. Always going somewhere. I think the day that you called me, I think we spoke last week. I ended up driving. It was Wednesday. I drove an hour and a half, a three-hour round-trip drive, and then I got back home, and Thursday, I drove an hour and a half one way, picked up a computer, brought it home, reloaded it at night, and then turned around and drove back that morning to deploy it. So I ended up driving, 6 hours in 3 days just right off the bat. So
yeah, I don't miss any kind of hardware, Martin. Driving, picking up, doing stuff at night, nope.
No, well, it's kind of what I do. If I can do it remotely, I definitely can. There's a lot of times where I have a lot of stuff going on. I've got some. We'll get into stories like stories from the trenches type stuff, and I've got some stuff we can talk about, and you've got some stuff, and we've got some news and everything. But it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's been a while. I think the last time was last year, maybe.
Was it? No. I know the first thing. I know when you popped onto Google Chat, you said, there's something different.
I said, you look like a wolf.
I look like a wolf. Well, GT in the chat room just says, my beard is getting long. He said Amish Mafia.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, that might have been it, too. You're part of the Amish TV show, guys.
No, I'm in northern Oregon. I don't think there is any. Maybe there is. I don't know.
I'm in Amish country. There's a bunch around here.
Mm-hmm. I'm in beer country. There's a bunch of that around here.
Yeah.
Good old Pacific Northwest.
Exactly.
What's going on? How are things going? How's work going for you?
Oh, it's going pretty good. I have been spending a lot of time with the marketing, with the Outlook and the Office 365, and it's been a rebuild since April. I'm not sure if I told them, you know, everybody and through the channels, but I took a month off in April to go to Utah to. I think I told you to take a little month off to go to a retreat house and lose some weight and refresh my life, kind of, because the winter here just literally killed my soul, you know. Mm-hmm. So I came back from April all charged up and was like, I'm ready to market. I'm ready to change the business, get it to a new level. You know, I need it to be – I start making some good money, you know. So.
Yeah.
So I started changing the services, and it's been nice. You know, I feel less stressed now. I don't do all the tech support calls anymore. I hired an outsourced company to help me with the tune-ups and virus removals and whatnot. So it's been very nice. I don't have to deal with that because those were a lot of time for me.
Yeah.
And I was good at them, but I was getting tired of just so much.
Yeah, you were definitely on here before all that happened, because I remember you talking about virus removal and stuff. I remember Tim was on the show at the time.
Yeah.
Tim's still on the show. I don't want people to think that he's not here. Softball season for me just ended. My daughter had her tournament on Saturday. But I think the league that Tim's daughter is in, it goes a lot farther. It starts a lot earlier. It goes a lot later. So he will be back. Mitch just couldn't make it today. That's why you get just me, but I didn't want people to think that they're not there. They're just it's life, and they'll be back soon.
Yeah, I'm just feeling geek today.
Nah, you're a geek. we're just two geeks chatting it up. Well, that's good. I'm glad it sounds like that. I mean, that was a good move then, because I know that sometimes you just have to, you know, I mean, just in technology in general, if something doesn't work, you just kind of walk away for a little bit, come back. And things, you know, take a break. And I think that we forget that as humans, we have to do that ourselves. We have to take a break. We have to take a breather. We've got to refresh because, I mean, I'm getting to that point where I probably need a little bit of a break. I've been going pretty strong for quite a while now. So, but
I was in horrible shape, Martin. And you know, I tell sometimes the stories online, Technobull, when I post stuff, and it's way worse than how I said it was. You know, I'm dealing with real life. You know, the internet only knows a portion of it. And you know, the good thing is that I talk about my company 2 years ago going through the, you know, closing of the stores. That was all in the past, but then I had to recoup from that. And I ended up gaining a lot of weight in a very short amount of time. That's what was killing me, was the weight gain. And then the winter here in Minnesota, I think in January we had 40 below for like a month solid. No one left their houses, you know. Oh, it's just terrible. It was horrible. So I came out of this going, I'm going to recharge, you know. And those in the chat probably heard this, but I had a little relationship change. So now I'm planning my move to Key West. I'm going to move down there in September.
So you're going from Minnesota to Key West.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be here next year for the cold.
That's what I was going to say. You're like, I am done with that. Where can I go far enough south, far enough east, and still carry U.S. dollars? Key West.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and where can I almost be like I'm outside the country? Key West.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool.
I've been there a few times, and I really like it. And the nice thing is that I've got all my work done online, remotely, so I can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm planning in 2.5 months driving down there with the Call That Girl truck and get some good advertising miles on the freeways and just go check it out. You know, I store all my stuff and just pack up and go.
Very cool. Well,
that's a lot of work.
That's great. It sounds like you've come back, you're refreshed, and you have a good positive attitude and things are moving on. So that's exciting, and I'm happy for you.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to go thank the chatters, too.
Yeah.
Yay! Yes. I'm in the chat. I can't believe it. As much as I'm not like techie, I'm like, I never can believe I can do these things sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm in the chat.
So any cool stories that you've come across lately? Anything? I mean, I've got a couple of things that have been happening lately. If you want me to, I can tell you some of what's going on with me.
Sure.
I've got one right now that I'm actually currently working on. I'm in the process of working on. So I was hired by a coffee shop, local coffee shop. They have 3 sites, and they're doing well. All of them are doing well. So in each site, they have 1 internet connection that comes in. It then gets split to 2 routers, 1 for internal use and 1 for public use. Okay. The internal use one goes to their point of sale systems and their iPads. They use the Square Up, but then they have a printer and a cash register. Now the cash register attaches to the printer, and the printer has actual Ethernet to the switch. Okay, so that way in the Square Up, because the Square device being just completely wireless on these iPads, you can print a receipt, and the receipt then tells it to pull out the drawer.
Yeah.
Or not. Excuse me.
Open the drawer.
Exactly. You don't need to get a receipt unless that. But the interface is the receipt printer.
Okay.
So let's see. A couple of weeks ago, what started all this was I work from these coffee shops. Sometimes they're just a great local coffee shop, and their public wireless would be flaky. It would go down. It wouldn't work right. It would be very weak. And I said, you know, would you guys like any help? And they said, no, not right now. And a couple years later, then they said, yes, we'd like some help. So we started doing a site survey, and all the wireless, all the private wireless was all up front for the iPads, but all the public wireless was always usually in the back behind like a metal closet, and it just, you know, it's
turn around.
Right. It's about as far as you can go back, and then it's covered in metal. So right there, we're losing data. So I used power line adapters at one shop. You know what those are?
No.
They're these boxes they're these boxes, and you can plug them into your wall sockets for your electrical cable, and you have an Ethernet cable that plugs in on one of them, and then you take the other one, go somewhere in your house, and you plug it in, and you plug the Ethernet cable into that one, and it actually will send your data through the using your current electrical system in your home or shop.
Okay.
And so instead of having to do wires or anything like that, we use one of these to bring the public wireless out to the front. It's worked great. Everything works good. So now what's happening is the private wireless is having issues. And these iPads they'll just go offline. The iPads themselves doesn't go offline. The application goes offline. And so starting the last couple days, what they do is they can just power cycle the router, unplug it, wait a couple seconds, plug it back in, computers go back online, everything's fine. You can also take the application and kill it on the iPad. You know, push the button twice, comes up with your thing, swipe up, because they're using iOS 7, swipe up, kills it, open it back up, gets back online, everything's fine. And then it'll wait until a credit card needs to be processed. As soon as they use the Square and they swipe the credit card, it goes offline. Okay. It's the weirdest thing. So
it's not like there's an interaction with it, it goes offline.
Right. Yeah. Well, but only if you do cash, it works. It's only when you interact with the Square it goes offline. Because I even use on my phone, I am a Square customer as well, and you can do Square to Square sales. So I pay them electronically essentially, and it works just fine. So we couldn't determine, you know, it's hard to determine, is it a router? It looks like it's a fairly older router. So we went ahead and just swapped out the routers. Okay. I reprogrammed one today, brought out there, did it. Thought this is going to solve it. Everything's going to work great. Still offline. So where we're at right now with this is that both iPads have an iOS update. And the latest iOS update provides security and provides some patches for third-party scanning software. So
this kind of stuff will drive me nuts.
Yeah. So we've spent a bit of time working on this, and now what I'm gonna do is go in tonight, because I was there at 5:30 this morning working on this, because they opened at 6.
Yeah.
And then I was there this afternoon working on it, and I'll be there tonight working on it. And we'll get it all squared away. But what's happening is I just think that it's the I think it's the iOS update. We're gonna try that. See what happens with that next. I'm gonna take my little hotspot here. We'll use this.
Oh, good.
We'll use the, and the only reason is because I have a feeling, because in with the Square application, you can have it in offline mode. Which means that it'll take all the transactions, sit in offline mode, and wait till it gets back online, and then process those transactions. Well, I think if I update the iOS software, it may wipe those transactions out if they're not already cleared out.
Yeah.
So
I had an iOS update wipe out a lady's exchange calendar, like gone.
Yeah.
Whole thing, right off Outlook too.
Oh my goodness. Well, this is just that it's an iPad for this, basically their point of sale machine. So I'm going to make sure that we get all that data squared away. We're going to do one at a time, and do the updates, and hopefully that'll fix it tonight. We've been, unfortunately,
it's getting kind of,
yeah, unfortunately, it's been kind of one of those projects where you're just like, I wish I, it's, you know, it's something little. So we'll see what happens. But that's a project that I've been working on lately.
Oh, I've been working on a project with this client from California. So here's an example of me being too saleswoman-y and trying to land the job, and me not doing the right thing and taking time to check everything before I quote the job. This guy had he called me. He's like, "Yeah, I have Gmail calendars, and I just want everything to sync." And I was like, "Yeah, you know, let's just put you on Exchange. I charge $300. It should be, you know, done in a couple hours." And he was like, "Yeah, that really sounds good, Lisa." I was like, "Okay." And he goes, "Well, so before I did it, I was fixing something minor on his Outlook first. That's how it all happened." And I was like, "You know, you need a tune-up before we do this, because your computer is very slow." And not thinking, I didn't check a few things. So if you want to quiz the chat room, what are the two things you should check on a computer if it's super slow before you do a tune-up? Does anybody know the answer? Because after hours and hours and hours and hours, like 20 hours of working with this guy, which I'll tell the story, everybody can think about it here if they want. So I took the job. I told him, "Look, you should probably get my prepaid ticket because you need to tune up, and they'll leave you some wiggle room for extras." He's like, "Yep, sold." So it was a $450 job. $300 of it goes towards the migration. Okay, so when the day came to move everything, I found out that he had 20 PST files he needed imported.
20?
20, and they were in sizes between 2 and 18 gigs. And I about had a freaking heart attack. And he had such a convoluted mapping of his PSTs, and he knew them so well that I said he would have a PST heart attack if he couldn't open those PSTs anymore. Wow. Literally, because he was just so good at mapping them all the time. And he had them on a locked external hard drive.
So he just so they were like, just, they were like archive folders, and he would just open them up and yeah. mount them in Outlook.
Well, your terminology is funny. He maps them to his Outlook and had them on an external drive, and then he'd have to go unlock it to get it open. And I don't know why he had it so locked down and secured. Made no sense to me. Excuse me. Anyway, so I took the job and I got the mail going, which is the easy part. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, 20 PST files. And he had them all organized so well, but it was such a mess. It took me over a week to get them imported into the server. 44 gigs.
Oh my goodness.
44 gigs. And it was 20 PST files. And then get this. So to the chatters, there's a third thing I forgot to check was this hard drive space. Okay, so that's he didn't have enough hard drive space to hold the server, 44 gigs, and his PSTs. So that was the first nightmare. His hard drive was clocked out. It had 12K in it at one point. Ooh. I was like, oh my God, we're redlining! Yeah. I was like, we got to do something! So finally, I figured out that I needed to turn off cache mode because it was making a copy, you know? So that saved that day. And then, what was the big drama? Okay, so anyway, we got it all set up. He had a lot of Gmail issues. He had, like, a Gmail PST I mapped. Don't ask me how he got both to work so well, but it had 10,000 unread mails, I think 15,000 regular mails, on top of his 44 gigs, okay? He calls in. Oh, every day he had a little snag, and I was like going, come on, client, just be done, you know? I mean, I just felt bad billing him more because I don't think he knew that 20 gigs of your 20 PSTs was actually a lot because he was so used to it. And I told him, I said, you have the most email I've ever seen any client in my life.
Like, no kidding.
You are the hoarder of all hoarders, is nicely saying it. Okay, so he calls in 2 nights ago, and then we'll talk to the chatters about the two things. So he's like, my Gmail won't send. And I'm like, what happened? Like, it was just working. I spent 45 minutes trying to troubleshoot port changes and little stuff to find out that he had a Windows update, which I just talked about in my show 2 days ago, by the way. And yes, the system restore brought his Gmail back. Some network setting was messed up, so that worked. But then all of a sudden, he's like, it's still slow. And I'm looking at it going, what's going on? So my tech and I, last night at 9 o'clock till 11 something, were working on this issue going, what is so slow? Like, we didn't get it. So I made him a whole new profile, set everything up, it worked. Finally, I realized, here's what's going on. His IMAP is corrupted in Gmail. Because I logged into his Gmail, he only had 800 emails in there, but his IMAP in Outlook showed 11,000 something.
So there's no any communication at all.
Holy shit. You know what? I was just like, what is going on? So finally, I think it was just so much work involved in this job that I finally said, okay, I'm going to take all your PST files off the hard drive, put them onto a folder. I said, and I fixed all your issues, and everything's perfect. And I said, I just want you to work. You know, I've been doing all this pro bono. Wow. I don't even know how to charge him. Like, it's just such a catastrophe. So I was like, we're done. And now moving ahead, you have a new bill. I mean, literally, I made it perfect. Perfect.
Very nice.
And that was hours and hours and hours. I've never seen such a mess. And that's the second IMAP corrupted Gmail I've seen this week. So heads up to anybody dealing with Gmail and Outlook. They're corrupting.
Yeah.
I just blogged about it.
Yeah. Are you seeing a pattern on that, or just that it's just...
Oh, yeah.
You've seen two, but have you seen more?
Oh, I've seen them in the past, too, but I just recall two this week because it's so hot, you know, but a lot of people, they love Outlook, they want Gmail, and it's like two titans that don't make sense, you know, working together. So there's a lot of problems with Gmail and Outlook.
Yeah, I've been pretty good with Gmail and Thunderbird.
Yeah, well, Gmail likes anything but Outlook, though. So, well, they don't let you do a lot of things. You can't use the calendar system unless you use a third-party app.
And, right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
GT in the forum. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say the problem that I'm having is that I'm so involved with Outlook work, which is awesome, but I'm feeling kind of like my show now. I have to really stretch myself because a lot of the work I do is Office 365 and Outlook, and I'm like, I hope my listeners don't, you know, are like, hey, you're getting boring because you're not talking techie stuff, you know. I don't know. What do you think, Martin?
Well,
What's your opinion? What's Tanner's opinions?
I mean, I understand where you're coming from. You don't want to get you don't want to get niched into one, you know, one topic or one stuff, and that all your shows are always about Office or Office 365 or Outlook, you know. But I understand. So I don't know.
Not so much.
Right, but then again, maybe your podcast and turns into a, you know, a Office 365 or Outlook or whatever kind of a lesson tool, where maybe you're gonna do a series on Outlook tips and tricks, and you'll go through some of the new stuff, because I've been using Outlook more. Let me rephrase that. I've been supporting Outlook more just because I have a lot of clients who need calendaring, who need business type support, and I found that the Hosted Exchange works really, really well.
Actually, Martin, I'm going to be doing a I don't know what to call it, an Office 365 downloadable training module set. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm going on a since the breakup with the boy, I'm going on my own cabin retreat this weekend to kind of just work on projects and get away from the house. And on that is I'm going to plan out the modules. So there might be like a 10-minute module, one might be a half hour. I'm covering everything from migrating Exchange, a whole big, huge one on Outlook. I mean, it is like Outlook troubleshooting 101 to the max. I wrote this out last year, and I could add another 100 things on it, of things I want to teach people. And then how to administrate and implement Office 365. So it's going to be pretty hardy. That's going to be a pretty cool training thing. And I was going to do live webinars, but then I was like, every time I do webinars, only like 5 people show up and 50 signed up. So I was like, I think people would buy it and then, you know, not come and just watch the download anyway.
Yeah, I'm one of those 50 people, by the way. I did sign up for your last video. I did sign up for one of your last webinars, and then the day came and it got busy, and I was like, I'm sorry, I can't make it.
Don't worry, you'll get my spam.
Oh, good.
Coming. Well, the thing is, I've got the list accrued of interested people, see? And that's why you do free webinars.
So this really wasn't a webinar as much as a marketing scheme.
It was both.
I'm not going to show you really anything, but now I got you.
Did you watch the recording?
No, I haven't yet. I've been too busy.
Oh, whatever. It takes like 15 minutes, Martin. It was pretty good. I cover the misconceptions of Microsoft's marketing and what to buy, and immediately afterwards I had 2 clients that were like, I bought the wrong product, so help me. And they got out of what they bought, and I did it for them right in about an hour. They already did some of the work, you know. But, you know, when you do webinars and stuff, it's not a scheme to get their info. It's you're gathering people that want the information. Right. They watch it, and if they want your help or not, you know.
Right. No, I was just giving you a bad time.
I just want to clear it up for the chatters that I'm a marketing maniac. I mean, no doubt. But
and we haven't even talked about your site yet. So, before we get to there, I want to say that GT in the chat was saying that last week Google had some issues with syncing, and that he uses the Google Outlook Sync Google Sync for Outlook 2013, and so that's how he uses. So he basically uses a third-party app in his computer that passes. So Google doesn't necessarily connect. If I remember correctly on that, Google is not your Outlook is not necessarily directly connected to Google, using a third-party app to relay the data through it.
Okay, so let me ask you this though, to the chatter, GT, is this a free app for anybody, or is this a business-only app? Because I'm aware of that one.
If I remember correctly, if he's not or he, she is not available to answer, when I deployed Google for one of the schools that I did, and now at the time we deployed Google because Google is free for education. We also found out that they also had a Microsoft subscription, so we could have went with Office 365, but I didn't realize it until 2 months after we had done the huge deployment. And they said, you have this Office 365 for free. And we're like, oh, we should have went with that. But what they ended up doing is we tried to do the Google and Outlook, and it didn't work out very well. And the sync came with it.
Let me just stop you there. I'll explain to everybody. Google free does not give you anything anymore. Google apps for business that you pay for, or the nonprofits get that for free, they can use the app sync.
Yes.
That's part of the benefits. Now, here's the other thing. If you ever get a person that's had like 5 users on a Gmail system from like 5 years ago, and they're like, how come I can't get Google apps to work for Outlook? Because they're grandfathered in on the old Google for Business. Mm-hmm. They need to upgrade to the $5 a month plan. At that point, I'm like, move to Exchange.
Right, you're going to have to change everything anyways.
Really?
Yeah, GT came back and said only Google Apps pay users. So it is just for the paid site.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm like, if you're going to pay $5 a month and you're using Outlook, why use Google?
I mean, yeah, I've had clients who some of them have talked about using Google, but for the same price. People who know me, I use Linux. I'm talking to you on a Linux box. I'm very much into the open source, and I really like that stuff. But there are a couple of things that Microsoft does very well. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of things that Microsoft does not so very well. Well, let's not talk about the not so very well stuff, because we could go for a while on that one.
You've been employed, Martin. Let's not ever talk about that.
Me too. I use Linux and I support Linux servers, but Microsoft pays the bills. And so, but what I'm saying is that their Active Directory and their Exchange Server and stuff like that works very well, and Microsoft does that very well. So, your website.
I like the servers, though.
Oh, I do.
I mean, the ones in Office 365, I actually can administrate. You know, back about 14 years ago, I started off at a help desk job, and I became like a junior server admin, you know, just to do end user accounts and little light fluffy stuff that the server guys didn't want to do. And that was perfect for me, just to get my hands dirty, just to learn the basics. And I just spent a lot of my morning learning SharePoint permissions on Office 365, and let me tell you, it's a lot different.
Yeah.
It's not like the servers anymore. It's all, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, no, I understand that. So your website, callthatgirl.biz.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Thank you.
And I just
what?
Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm actually in Alexa under, I think I'm at the 190,000th rank in America.
Oh, nice.
I know. I blog heavily, though. Yeah. I blog for the masses. I blog for the Google gravy to keep my other stuff floating.
Well, right on the front page of your website, there's a button that says register for Office 365 here. And I went there. Is that where but that's not where the...
Well, that's where you can go sign up, and I changed it. I just haven't changed the graphic yet. Okay. I think about 5-6 weeks ago, I did a lot of marketing through all my LinkedIn groups and stuff, and people were signing up for the free webinars, but then they wouldn't come. Like, I'd even email them right before saying, we're starting from, 5 minutes, and people still didn't show, so I just recorded one. You sign up, you get to view it.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Yeah. We'll go there. So that's callthatgirl.biz,
yep.
And then right on the homepage, click on it, so sign up, and then you can get a chance to see some of those the videos that you did. That is cool.
I mean, it's the thing is that it there's so much hype about it, and people are seeing it all over the internet that, you know, for the people that are in chat and the people that are going to download and listen later, and I've been talking about it on my show, it is seriously a gold mine for us. We are in a perfect position as technicians to completely control this 100%. And I'm talking, you know, the managed IT guys have been doing it for years. It's now our time, and here's why. Because Microsoft is doing the marketing for us, so these small businesses, I mean, I don't know what size firms you do, Martin, but I try to stay 1 to 10. That's all I want, you know, because I don't have contracts. And the companies in 1 to 10 range are perfect for me, and they want to hire me for project work, like the transition and administration work, and they're fine with giving me $600 to do a project. That's one job, banked out in an afternoon. Done, you know, but you have to learn how to do it, and you have to know how to upsell your support tickets, and I'm still learning a lot of that, a lot of the sales stuff, because, for example, this guy called me from California today, and he's like, look, I'm going to England on Saturday, set us all up on Exchange between now and then, and I'm like, okay, how many people? He said 3. I'm like, no brainer. Well, then I was like, well, who else does your IT support? He's like, nobody. Well, there you go. Now I'm going to go try to sell them on a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't sometimes sell them on a ticket until after you've done work for them, you know. You have to, like, prove how good you are and the extended support they'll need, because they'll need training and they'll need administration help and running Office 365 on the back end.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we worked with, I just finished a couple weeks ago, finished up a project. A company had called me that I had loose contacts with before in the past. We had talked And kind of out of the blue, they had remembered me, and they came in and they gave me a call. Nice. And I think that was great to talk with them. And they wanted a couple of things. They wanted me to take a look at their server, just do a site survey on their server, maybe some recommendations on what they could do to make it better. Things like antivirus. So their Kaspersky was dying, and they needed to go to another kind of a managed antivirus product. They wanted to do remote support from the field to multiple places, but they're not always connected to those places. It's a heating and air conditioning company, so the techs sometimes need to get one back to their home, back to their computers, back in the main office, and then also sometimes to client's office, but not all the time. So, and then there was what else was there? I think there was a couple other little things, and it was a project, and it was all these little things. We got them all set up, and you know, we kind of finished the project. I gave them recommendations on what they could do for their server, how they can make it a little better, some of the changes, some of the DNS changes they could make in the server. Hooked them up with since they needed unattended support a lot of places, but not connected all the time to a lot of places. We looked at Screen Connect. It's a product that I use as well. And if you've never used Screen Connect, you have to host it somewhere. That's the only thing. So they paying $5 a month for a server, and what they're doing with that then is they're going ahead and then they'll put unattended installs at different locations, and then different techs can come in and jump in at different times and take care of that. Yeah, and then so once the project was done, we kind of finalized everything, and an invoice went out to them today regarding all that. Say it'd be the first of the month, and asked them if they'd like to move on with some kind of long term maintenance, kind of an ongoing maintenance, making sure that I can keep their server up to date and I can make those changes to the servers for them. And I haven't heard anything back with them. I do need to follow up with them, but and because their IT guy is a guy who works there. He's also part of their crew, and I'm not sure if he has all the time that he wants or can apply to everything. So, I'm in the same boat. Going ahead and
well, it's good. Well, sometimes you have to milk them out a little bit too, and I don't mean milk them out like milk them dry of their money. No. What I do is I don't try to be like. When they first call for like an exchange project, I don't sit there and give them the whole pitch because, you know, my whole pitch can be pretty expensive. And I know that they're finding me on Google. Like the chatters can give me a test here. If you Google Outlook Expert, I should be like in the page one, page two rank of international. I'm always proud of that. Well, these people, they see that page. They want a fix now. They just want to be affordable and get it done. They're not calling for a new managed IT setup or, you know, a huge bill. Mm-hmm. That's why later on I come back and say, you know, you do need some help because I'm charging you $50 every time when it could be just $25. And my sales have gone up pretty nicely after that, Martin. It's like I've learned, you know. Very nice. What I should have done today with California client is said, I charge $600 plus you should get a 2-hour support ticket.
And fly you out to California.
Exactly. No, honestly, I don't even want to do any on site, period, unless it's in Key West and I'm at some fancy boat doing some work.
There you go. I did Google Outlook Expert, and just to give you a heads up, after I got rid of the three ads on the top, you are number three.
Oh, through Outlook or for Google?
I'm on Google Chrome. And
oh, nice.
And you came across number three. Yeah, and it looks like GT said the same thing, third down after the ads. So
yeah.
So
I don't have anybody competing with me in Outlook Expert, except get this, the one company that did compete with me, I worked for him as a contractor. So we kind of competed, but he didn't care. He paid ads. I didn't. I got more work, so I quit partnering with him kind of because he said, I don't want to pay for ads. And I was like, well, my ad actually sounds real personal. So people want to talk to a person, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are like, are you a real person? Are you going to be the one helping me? I'm like, yeah, I'm just me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of surprised, but that's nice. You know, I get a lot of sales from that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've kind of had a little bit of conversation here about some of the stuff I've done, but in you, and I guess for first time listeners, if they don't know you or this is the first time they've been introduced to you, so you provide remote support, mainly specifically now on Office and Exchange migrations.
Well, here's what Call That Girl is a technology support company. So if you call in with a virus removal, I schedule it with Chris from RSTT. I don't know if you ever heard of him before.
Yes, I have.
The remote support tech team. He was just on Jeff Palish's show.
Yeah.
He is my night and weekends and day overflow guy. He does all my virus removals, tune-ups, Windows 8 problems, everything. He also manages my GFI and my online backup.
Nice.
So he takes care of all the stuff I don't want to anymore. I take care of sales and marketing and Outlook and Office 365. And then in my side time, I manage my books. And I haven't the books they're fine. I needed to upgrade the brand for the books. So that's when I just launched Remote Rockstars. And I think GT in the chat said he's seen it. I'm not sure. But anyway, the Remote Rockstars is where all the updates for the remote book will be because I can't write another book. It's literally the last one killed me because there's so many technical changes.
Right.
That I can't update a book because it's going to be outdated in a year. So the website is now where the updates will be, and it's for people who have only bought the book. So you have a private code to get in. And once you buy the book, you get the code, and you can read the book and then go read the updates. And then I have a special Q&A form, too, for just the members to chat with each other about remote stuff. It's just getting started. But I've got 160-some people on the website.
Wow.
Yeah, it might even be more now because I haven't checked in a few days, but it's pretty cool. The it's in its birth and oops.
Nope, you're back.
Oh, so it's just starting. It's in its birth, and I have a bunch of new things for the book that I'm working on, like YouTube videos to put out on the page that only people. Everything is only for the purchasers, you know. Every value. I want to sell books. So people keep learning with this stuff, and it doesn't stop. You pay $30 for the book, and you get it for life until I'm done with it. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a brand. And the podcast show on Podnuts Network helps support the remote, you know, in general. And then I, you know, sell books sometimes from that. But it's just more of an offering to, you know, teach people, help them share experiences.
Yeah, and you
it's
can
kind of a neat little triangle.
Oh yeah, yeah it is. And the where you can listen to Lisa on Podnuts is podnuts.com/CTG. Call that girl. And you just posted another show yesterday, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
I have some SEO talent that I figured I could share with people because so many people have WordPress. I'm like, steal my WordPress stuff. I mean, I steal WordPress ideas off the internet every day, you know.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I have done very little of is SEO. Oh. But I have a lot of word of mouth, and so a lot of my clients I have picked up from word of mouth, and it's growing. Yeah, and currently that is the thing, and I'm at that tipping point where I really need to start looking to hire somebody because I want to stay busy and I want to continue to grow and I need to take a vacation and I need to have some time off.
And you should hire Chris to do your back end overflow.
Well, but see, a lot of my stuff I've thought about that, I have thought about that. The problem is that I don't do a lot of. There's very few stuff where it's usually hardware maintenance.
Oh, yeah.
or it's I do a lot of hardware and I do a lot of system and network administration. So a lot of the stuff that I do, I have to be on site. Like the coffee shop, I'm working on replacing routers. I had to go physically replace a printer. I had to wipe and reload a computer hard drive. Anything that I can do remotely, I definitely do. But I cover a wide range. 2 weeks ago, I was flown. One of the companies that I work for flew me to Palo Alto. To help with the printer install, one of the big multifunction copier scanner printers installs. And so I do a lot of remote support if I can. But a lot of the stuff, sometimes it's just, you know. So here's an example. Received a call a couple weeks ago. We were unable to record Geeksters last week, and I think it's because of this call. I received a call from a client, and this is a client that I do, and I handle a lot of property management companies. So this was a condo suite place. The same company, but now they're in condos, and they also have some apartment complexes. So they received a call from them saying, "Our internet, nobody else can join the internet anymore. There's nobody can do anything.
The internet shut down."
Well, yeah. So they sent me an email back and forth between, and I was reading the thread between them and the ISP through CenturyLink, and the reseller who I know. they're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Well, they have a coffee shop on site, and I knew that coming in, but I didn't know when they were going to make some changes, and I expected them to give me a call. And then come to find out, they had one router put in place, which is the what the business was using, but then they opened it up for the coffee shop and a business next door. So what was happening was all the DHCP leases were gone. And so now people couldn't work in the business. So I asked them, one of the first things I said was, are they using the same one you're using? And they said, yes. So I said, well, we got to fix that, because now we have people coming in, sitting in the coffee shop on the same network as you and your business, and, you know, tenant information and paycheck stuff. And, you know, so we have to fix that. That's we need to have some kind of separation. So I came out there and I did some, I came out there and I did some separation, and then the printers didn't work right, and I had to come back out and fix the printers. But then what happened?
You seem to always deal with printers, Martin.
Well,
printers. The bane of my.
It's not always printers, but you know, everybody has to print. So,
yeah, I got the good old HP back here.
Yeah, I went out there and went ahead, and they were saying the signal wasn't as strong at next door, so I took out some. It's over there. I had some 9 dB antennas I took out there with me, hooked those up. They're still having some issues, and they've decided to go ahead and they're going to move to the other company who's having issues is actually going to get their own internet provider. So that's kind of a moot point now.
Perfect. Everybody needs their own, you know, internet service if they're going to be a business. That's a good theory.
Well, I mean, it's part of the company. I mean, this company leases out that shop, and so I think they wanted to provide them free internet. But what's happening is the free internet is also to a coffee shop, and you know, we have coffee shops in there, and it's a, you know, coffee. It's actually a coffee house, so people go and they sit down. It's not like Starbucks where there's very little seating. This is, you know, they have got huge tables and meeting rooms, and so you can very well go in there and blow through all the leases fairly quickly. And now I've set the lease time very low because of that. But okay. I think there's enough turnover in this coffee shop that's right really close to downtown that it's taking up all the leases, and then people are getting out, are not able to do anything with that. And I mean, I could fix that, but I'd have to reassign some IP addresses and do some stuff. And I think it got to the point where they're just like, yeah, it's working. we're going to have them, do, you know, the other company just said, we want our own, so.
Oh, my God. You know, Martin, it's so funny when I listen to other techs talk their stories, and I compare it to my world, and I'm like, everybody has their own nightmares. That's no question. I'm like, I just am happy I don't have to figure that kind of stuff out.
And that's another thing, is that I enjoy that, and that's stuff that I have to go on site for. And so I've thought about asking Chris or looking into that, but I'm not sure how that would fit into...
How's it going to help you? You know, the only thing that for you or for other, you know, companies that do a lot of Einsight would be helpful for is to have as an overflow if you're busy and they need help with software.
That is true.
So then you could say, you know what, call my guy. Here's his number. He'll help you in a pinch. And what I do is I buy prepaid tickets from him. So I get charged a nominal fee for him to do the work, and I bill my clients whatever rate I charge them. So it's nice, you know. And if you're busy for a few hours, he can handle your phone calls. You know, you don't have to deal with missing them. But I'm not here to pitch that service. But I tell you, it's changed my business a lot, because now I don't have to work after 6. I have weekends off. He knows my company. I can actually breathe, you know.
Yeah.
I was just hustling for 7. Call that girl's birthday is August 16th or 17th.
Oh, as I said, 16th is my mother's birthday.
Well, it's the 17th, and it'll be the end of the 7th year. And
oh my goodness.
I know I'm starting year 8, so I'm not at the $1 million mark yet.
Only 10 more years, and you become a millionaire.
Well, you know what? Facebook didn't start hitting. I did a comparison of Microsoft, Geek Squad, Facebook, and Apple. They all had their failures between years 1 and 7. And that you have to have a failure to be able to succeed, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So my failure was when I took on that huge contract and grew a company. I had no business growing because I didn't know how to run a company. I'm a technician, for God's sakes. What do I know about operations and financial statements and shit, you know? It was not my thing. So I think... What is my thing is I do want to grow my company bigger, but I'm going to take a break in Key West and get my master's degree.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm going to learn how to grow the company the right way, and I'm going to run it myself until I can hire management. But I mean, you know, right now the business is doing pretty good. I but I'm not ready to get bigger. I'm scared, kind of. I'm like, it kind of freaks me out thinking if I'm going to mess this up again, it's going to be done after that. I can't do that to my company, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to get the online masters, do that down there. And then I've got so many experiences with Call That Girl that the writing the labs up will be a breeze.
Yeah.
You know, when you have to do the projects, I'll just use my own company.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. You had touched on Facebook, and it made me think of a news article that came out this week. And I don't know if you heard about this. So Facebook experimented on users. I don't know if you heard about this week. Apparently, Facebook in 2012 did kind of a massive. It says this is from the Wall Street Journal, and it says. Let me put the link in the chat here. It says that social network furor has erupted over news that Facebook in 2012 conducted a massive psychological experiment on nearly 700,000 unwitting users to determine whether it could alter the emotional state of its users and prompt them to post either more positive or negative content. The site's data scientists enabled an algorithm for 1 week to automatically emit content that contained words associated with either positive or negative emotions from the central news feed of some 689,300 users.
It's kind of like A/B testing, huh?
Yeah. So what do you think? Like, I mean,
let's put 700,000 people, whatever. Who cares? I quit Facebook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really kind of told my assistant, let's just stop marketing there. It's a junkyard for me. Martin, it's so sad to say, I've got 3 Facebook accounts, all 3, one's legal, the other 2 are illegal, I found out way later. I don't like logging into any of them. All I see are doggies being burned.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there.
Here's the worst one, boobies with maggots in it. I'm like, I don't need to see this crap.
Well, a lot of that has become, it's malware, it's spyware.
Junkyard.
Right. So definitely.
I don't know.
On Facebook. So this was. I just thought this was an interesting article that Facebook. I don't know. Yeah. Did Facebook? I'm curious to hear what other people have to say about this. Did Facebook go over the line in the process of trying to test and see what people will do? I mean, this is a social media site. We're supposed to be able to just to post stuff and have comments and basically interact with your friends and you know. But but on the other hand, they're using it for, you know, testing, I guess, to see what emotional, you know, responses its customers would use. I don't know.
I've been doing it for how many years with likes and this kind of stuff we have to do, and you know what? To me, it's a junkyard. I'm just gonna say it again. I quit it. I found no value in it, and after I quit it, I was like, you know, I've been trying to call my friends more. And my other friend that quit Facebook too, she was like, I'm actually trying to get communicative with my friends in real life again. It's like I miss that, and everybody relies on it. And the only thing I really like about Facebook is I go to one friend because she has a baby, and I want to see the baby, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, I'm like, it just isn't good for me. I quit. I'll get this. I even tried to make a private Facebook with only 5 people in it, right? The 5 friends, the one with the baby and a few others.
Mm-hmm.
And all I see is the crap they're sending out every day,
right,
which is junk. So now I just get this. I got the 5 people on there, and I don't follow them. So now I log in and just click on it and look for any pictures, and I leave. I'm like, what a waste that was. Ugh. I'm just social media out, I think.
Yeah.
And I use it for marketing all the time, but I'm just like, it absorbs me. I cried last winter when I was in my depression from the winter and the weight gain. I cried almost every day watching those stupid Facebook movies about the dogs and just all the other stuff, and even the happy ones. I was bawling, and here I was like ending a remote job watching some on Facebook crying, and it's horrible.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to do it anymore to myself.
Oh, yeah. No, you got to take care of yourself.
I was like, I'm not a crier. I'm pretty mean and bitchy, actually. I'm 45, though, too, you know, so I try to give myself that midlife break.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, I also, something also that came out in the news just the other day from, and you know him, I know him, he's actually a sponsor of PodNet stuff, is Nick Shaw from FoolishIT.com.
Yeah, Nick!
Yeah. Yeah, he said he was going to try to make it out to the show, and actually he's in the chat room right now.
I see him. Foolish
dick. So it looks like he came out with a D Maintenance Home Edition. And this was this was pretty cool. I heard about this a couple weeks ago, was scrolling through it and looking at it. So he looks like he's got two versions. He has the D-Maintenance Home Edition, which is for $15 on sale right now until July 4th. So if people listening to us live, you have until Friday to get that. And then there is a D-Maintenance Home Edition with Crypto Prevent, which is a huge... huge, great save. And if you've listened to any of the podcasts that I've done, especially, we've talked about Crypto Locker, we've talked about Crypto Prevent in the past, and we've definitely mentioned it. $25 for that. And that cost, that $25 cost, covers all your home PCs. So really, spend the extra $10, get Crypto Prevent, and this is Crypto Prevent Premium, so this is the one, this isn't the one that you would put on, and you go, oh, that's right, I got to remember to update. This one automatically updates. So Crypto Prevent
Premium. This will be in the show notes too, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, it's also going out in my remote updates email tonight, so if you are listening and bought the book, it'll be a link in mine as well.
Oh, very cool. So, yeah, this is, I was really surprised when Nick threw this out. It kind of threw me off guard, and I was like, what? I went and took it out, checked it. I was like, oh, this is awesome. So, $25, Crypto Prevent Premium, the maintenance combo pack for all your computers at home. I mean, that's I spend more than that on coffee in a couple weeks.
Oh, God. You know, the thing with sales with people is I think the price point for a home user, I sell the monthly daily monitoring package. $25 a month is about there. This is $25 for life, right?
I think so.
So if you want to upsell it or do whatever you need to, that should sell like hotcakes. Holy crap.
Yeah, and Crypto Prevent, I mean, Crypto Prevent has, I have it on all of my customers. If I have customers who aren't on an Active Directory domain, they're running Crypto Prevent. If I have customers on an Active Directory domain, I have the I made the group policy changes, which is essentially the same thing on the back end. Yeah. But it keeps me from having to install Crypto Prevent on all these computers when I can just manage it one thing. So, and I've actually talked to Nick a couple times. We've had some issues, or I've had issues, and where something's being blocked. And
get Nick on the chat. Get him on the Hangout real quick.
Oh, okay. Well, we have to start some recordings and stuff like that. But yeah, we'll have to have him back on again. And he does say updates for life. So you have, it looks like, well, that one's until the July 4th. I don't know when the other sale ends. I'm going to assume it right around the same time. But $25. Normally $44.95. He's selling it for $25. So I want to thank Nick Shaw for being a sponsor of the Podnuts Network.
Yes, and me too. And keeps it just, alive.
And this guy has just put out such great products, and so thank you, Nick, for everything you do and all the great products that you put out.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is I love about entrepreneurs, and Nick, I consider one of the great entrepreneurs out there in our tech world, is all of us, including yourself, Martin, all the podcast people, everybody. We love sharing. We love giving. It's like it's part of our thing, just to constantly teach and learn, and Nick seems to always do a great job with his products, and he's a real guy, and you can talk to him, and, he's not too big that, he's untouchable, right, Nick?
Untouchable.
Nope. Untouchable. He's like, touch me, Lisa. I was kidding. Okay.
So that's cool. I wanted to bring that out. Yeah, one other news story I wanted to bring up, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. Have you heard of NoIP.com?
NoIP?
Yeah, NoIP. Okay. So NoIP.com is a domain name. It's a dynamic name service. Okay. So if you don't have a lot of people who have dynamic IP addresses, what will happen is if you need to be able to get back to your home or back to your work and you have a dynamic IP address, you want to be able to remote in, and so you maybe use your IP address, but then that'll change. And so purchase, a lot of them are free or sometimes are even purchasable, a domain name service. So then you create a domain name, maybe it's obandocomputing.thisisacoolwebsite.com. Mm-hmm. And actually on OIP, we have actually talked about this. I remember Mitch and I had mentioned this up before. And so you buy that service from them, and then you run a little app on your local machine that keeps the service connected to your local domain, your local IP, external IP address, and then allows you to remote desktop or whatever, however you need to get back in. You go to the name instead of the IP address, which is great. I've actually used this feature for many, many years when I was running some smaller stuff and I was running some servers from home. That's what I would use. There's multiple of these services out there, and one of the bigger ones that I've talked about, I know Doris talked about, is called noip.com. It's no-ip.com. Well, while that's really great that you can do that, the downfall is that spammers and people putting spyware and malicious content on the web can do the same thing, because maybe they're running it from their home and they need to be able to access it remotely as well. It's so from the Hacker News, it says noip.com domain seized by Microsoft. In an effort to crack down cybercrime, Microsoft has taken legal action against a malware network, what it thought is responsible for more than 7.4 million infections of a Windows PC across the globe. So it says that I'll just read this other paragraph. It says many of legitimate servers that rely on dynamic domain name services from noip.com, owned by Bitaworks, were blacked down on Monday after Microsoft seized their 23 domain names that were being used by malware developed in the Middle East and Asia. So, you know, I use this service, but it looks like we're getting to the point now where, unfortunately, you're not able to hide. I mean, that's a good thing for, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword because we want to be able to be at least somewhat anonymous on the web. We want to be able to do some stuff. But yet, if we do anything malicious, we want those people to be taken down. There's no reason to have that on site. And so Microsoft started to do it. It looks like they may have done it. Microsoft kind of did it forcefully. There's a quote in here that says, unfortunately, Microsoft never contacted us or asked us to block any subdomains, even though we have an open line of communication with Microsoft corporate executives, says no IP's marketing manager. So it's like it sounds like Microsoft quickly came in and just did it, which may make some people a bit upset. But
maybe. Oh, well.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know a lot about proxies and stuff like that and hiding and I don't know. I don't know anything about it. But if those people are in foreign countries doing that and they're being bad, they should be brought down.
Yeah, and I do not know where NoIP resonates from. I don't know where the owners of that company are. It's Vital Works, VitalWerks is the owner of NoIP. And actually, I use NoIP for a couple of my clients. A couple of them need remote assistance back into their server. And so we use this. So it's, you know, it's site.noip.org or noip.biz, and they can jump back in and they don't have to worry about that. And I mean, I think it's, gosh, I don't think it's very much. I think for $25 a year or for $15 a year or something, you get 25 of them. And they just auto-update, and there's an application that just sits on a Windows box somewhere. So if you have a dynamic IP address and you need to be able to get back to your computers externally, you can do something like this, and it works out really well, as opposed to paying for a static IP address. I think it's pretty expensive for home users to get a static IP address as opposed to businesses getting a static IP address.
Yeah.
I think Comcast will sell one static IP address for something like $7 a month, and then a pack of three for 14 or something right around those lines. But home users, I think it's a little bit more expensive. I could be wrong. I never get a static IP because I just do something like this and it works out quite well.
Sneaky Martin.
Well, I mean, you know, it works out well. Or if you already have a, you know, depending on what you want to do. My Screen Connect, I used to host it internally, and that's why I would do something like this. And now I went ahead and I put my Screen Connect out on a DigitalOcean, you know, VPS box. And now I have a static IP through DigitalOcean, so I do the same thing. Yeah. But if I need to, I can still remote back into my computers by using this. And then you just do some port forwarding on your router.
Cool. I'm still 50 feet away from my router, and I still have 4 bars.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, my router is right. Yeah, my wireless router is right there. I can reach out and touch it. It's right under my desk.
Well, hey, Martin, I wanted to ask real quick to the chatters. I'm going to try. I want to do a live show on Sunday night around 7. So I'm going to test.
7 p.m. Your time. So is that Central?
Yeah. I don't even know how to do it. If anybody wants to help me learn it, just email me and I'll invite you right before I do it. I don't need like 21 people like you have. I just need like 4 just to like so I can test some settings. Now, the thing is, I don't know if I'm going to do my show live all the time because I don't know, but I am doing a live show in August for sure. So I kind of want to have a little practice talking to and engaging with people because I've only done 10 myself and they're all me. And I'm very, as I said in my last show, I'm very nervous when I do them because it's just kind of weird, you know. I think I figured it out in this last show why it was like, it's just strange to record by yourself because I'm used to talking all day to people.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do a test on Sunday, either with Ustream or this or something. I don't know. And so if anybody's interested, email me, lisa@callthatgirl.biz. Just say, hey, I'll help, you know.
Yeah, I'll be traveling that day, unfortunately, and so I won't be able to.
That's okay.
I won't be able to assist on that one, but you know, the Google Hangouts work fine. You know, if you're going to do a live show, check out Jitsi. It's meet meet.jit.si, and I'll put that in the chat room here. Okay. Meet.jit.si. I think that's JITI. I'll find it. But it is a you can't record. Yes, that's what it is. So it's meet.jit.si. If you go there, you get a page, you get a URL from there. Yeah. You can send that URL out, and then now you can have multiple people in there. The audio is decent, the video is decent, and it's free, and it works on cross platform. There's nothing to do with that, so you don't have to worry about getting into Google Hangouts and then having, you know, the one thing about Google Hangouts is that, you know, you have to create a Google account, whether you use a Google domain name or whether you use your business domain name. You still have to create one and then get in. This one here, it's a quick, very easy way just to do that. Now, if you're going to record on your side, you're going to want to record on your side, right? We still have to do side recording like we are now, where I'm recording on my side, the audio.
Guess what? I just realized I didn't record.
Oh, okay. No worries.
And Dora's going to get mad at me again.
Oh, that's all right. We'll get all screwed away. So, you know,
sorry, Dora. I saw it in the chat. I'm like, oh, man. I was like, after we got done doing it, I didn't hit the record button.
No worries. No.
See, I'm not a techie like you guys. You guys are all techno nerds, and I'm like, I don't even know how to run my webcam.
No worries. Anyways, check out, if you haven't looked at it before, meet.jitsi.jit.
Okay.
Yeah, anyways.
I'll tell you that it sounds complicated to me already.
And but it's not.
I like things that are very easy to figure out because I just, get this, Martin, I just figured out how to do 2 new plugins in WordPress that absolutely scared the crap out of me to do. And I actually sat down and read the F manual. Hello. And it worked. But I have to have a lot of patience. And as soon as I go to this Jitsi thing, it takes me to my camera and microphone, allow or deny. That makes me nervous already.
Well, no, because you have to allow your camera so that people can see you. And then you get a URL. You send out that URL. So you maybe want to broadcast to everybody, say, hey, if anybody wants to come meet me, here's the URL. They jump on there. And then you just have all these people. It's just a simple, easy chat.
Okay.
Simple, easy chat, and then you can just do it from there. Now, if you're going to do any recording, of course, you're going to want to record on your side, but people are not going to be able to, you cannot record other people as well, unless you have a mixer where you can run all your audio through.
Okay, fair enough. You guys know so much stuff. I'm lost.
Nah.
But if you need your Outlook configured, I'm your gal.
And see, that's right. There you go.
I can untangle any Outlook mess.
even if I have 21 PSTs?
21 I can do, yes.
All right.
And if they're locked on an external hard drive and password protected.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very
cool. Can you believe that? 44 gigs on an Exchange server in the cloud!
I don't know. The rep that I use for my hosted Exchange, you get 25. Or at least the plan, you get 25. So 44
is that though for Exchange now to 50.
Oh, okay. Do they? I haven't talked with him in a bit. He's actually in Minnesota as well. My rep. Yeah. He works, but the company he works for is here out of Portland.
Okay. Well, you know, the thing is, I think Officer 65 is learning that people are not buying extra SharePoint space. I think they just upped it. to 50 gigs or a terabyte. I'm not standing on that saying that's accurate, but I was looking it up for a client today because they only were giving you 10 gigs, and people are like, are you insane? Nobody has 10 gigs of data. You know, they've got 100.
Yeah.
So. No, I don't know. I've got a 2 terabyte drive over here with 700 some gigs on it. My computer's got 700. I'm a machine of hoarding. Absolutely. Well, mm-hmm. I make a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I just updated my work laptop here to 256 gigs. It's a solid here. State drive. So.
Yeah, I've got 393 free of 931.
Yep. Well, I do a lot of my
own data.
Yeah, I have a lot of my data in the cloud, so I can, no matter where I go, I can have all my data with me.
Oh, yeah.
It works out.
I can set up a new computer for myself in 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Done. Yeah, I do everything in the cloud. It's all there. Just need to download it.
Yep, works well. Well, Lisa, I think we've covered quite a bit today.
Mm-hmm. Little chitter-chatter, Martin.
Hey, that's
a little chit-chat show.
You know, that's okay. That's what we're about. We come on and you know, we just talk about geek stuff. This is what Geeksters is about. We want everybody to come on and just feel like they were, like I'm sitting across the room from you here in sunny Portland, and we're just sipping on a nice cold beverage. Could be iced tea, could be not.
Nestle Pure Life water.
or water. And just, you know, and just we're just having fun, and we're just having a good time, just getting to, you know, just sitting around. Old friends sitting around, having
right.
a good time.
Chatting it up.
Well, Lisa, if people want to get a hold of you, find out more about your book, your webinars, your mm-hmm. your Rockstar page. Oh, my goodness, anything and everything about you. What's the best way they can do that?
Oh, I know. Well, if you want to contact me, you can email me at lisa@callthatgirl.biz. That's first. If you want to buy the book, go to podnuts.com, and there's a link on the right. Support the Podnuts Network. It helps give back. Then when you get there, you get the Remote Rockstars community, and they're just, who knows where that's going to go. I'm excited. That's my new baby. We're building a brand, Martin.
Yeah.
Building the brand up, so.
Now, do you want people to call you, or do you, like, just give you?
To hire me, yep.
You want to hire her. If you have 20 gigs worth of stuff, you can do that. If you have a question for her,
call me. I do a lot of tech-to-tech help. So techs are in a pinch. They need someone I remote in real quick and help a lot of techs.
Oh, that's cool. See, And that's that makes me giddy, because there are times where, you know, we just had this conversation minutes ago about sometimes I get busy where I need to, you know, have help, stuff like that. So that's cool. People run into buying. I mean, I talked to today. I asked our good friend, Liam Tidwell, for some suggestions, because I was running into some issue, and I'll throw him some stuff. I'll throw Josh Knucklehead Tech some information.
Uh-huh.
Man, I've asked Nick. I've also contacted him a couple times regarding some stuff. So we, you know, as a group of techs, it's very nice to be able to just say, hey, if you need to get a hold of any one of us, give us a call. Let us know what you're going through, and probably some of us will have an answer, because at least one of us has come across that silly printer that just doesn't print for whatever reason.
Oh my God!
Well, that's why I had to drive down to Albany. I had a lady who did an update, and I think she updated the firmware and you broke it. So,
oh my God,
new printer in place.
But, you and those printers. I'm gonna call you Printer Martin.
Well, okay. It's just been it's been a pattern lately. It's not always the time. It's not always that way.
But no.
Lately it's been a pattern. Hey, you know what? But really, I'll take replacing printers hands down over some funky malware, some funky antivirus, some crypto locker.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, everybody likes what they like. You like hardware, and you like dealing with that, and I don't. And I don't even like printer driver fixes anymore, so I give those away. And I'm like, I just don't do my little stuff I do.
There you go.
I enjoy it so much better.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, if people so if people want to get a hold of me, they can reach me at martin@obandocomputing.com. They can check me out on podnuts.com/geeksters. If you guys want to send us an email, 7076podnut. If you want to send us a text message, not a text message, but if you want to send us an email, it's geeksters@podnuts.com. Lisa touched on it a little bit earlier. If you guys have anything you're looking at purchasing, Amazon's a great place to go. A lot of people use Amazon. Why not head over to podnuts.com/Amazon? A little bit comes back to the Podnuts community. We give a chance to do that. check out all of our other shows. We have, the Podnuts community is growing. There's Android App Addicts. If you have an Android phone and you've never heard about Android App Addicts, put your hand out and then smack it with the other hand on top of it. Not hard. It doesn't have to be hard. just a little bit. Just a reminder to go check out Android App Addicts. They do a daily show now. It's very small. It's not very long, so you're not having to sit down and listen to a 2-, 3-hour, 4-hour podcast. You know, you're talking a half an hour a day, and they come up with some great tools and tips and tricks, and man, those guys are funny. And our good friend Cody has been on there a couple times. So, and this was Door to Door Geek and Sean Johnson. Well, not Sean's not there. I'm sorry. Door to Door Geek and Steve Cherubino and all these other guys that are very integral in the part of the Podnuts community. But thank you again for coming out and joining me on a Tuesday afternoon. Uh-huh. And I've had a good time. So everybody who's in the chat room, thank you again for coming out. And
thanks, guys. And girls.
Yeah, and we'll see everybody again hopefully next fiscal week. All right, guys, have a great day.
Bye. See ya.
D72 is here. Go to foolishit.com for more information.